Good morning. I greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here again today, another wonderful day to worship in the house of God together with fellow believers. Whether you come here regularly or whether you're visiting here, I trust that we all have the same desire to get to heaven, to honor God and glorify Him while we're here on this earth. The message that I've chosen to preach about this morning is an Old Testament character that this statement was said of him. The Lord actually spoke it and said, he had another spirit with him. Does anybody know who that was spoken of? He had another spirit with him. That's correct. It was about Caleb. You can turn in your Bibles a while to Numbers chapter 13. Now, I know that some of this sermon is going to be somewhat interlaced with parts of our Sunday school lesson. Not so much this morning, but we're getting to a portion of Caleb's life later on in our book. But there's also a portion of Caleb's life that was taking place in Numbers here that we have not studied about. I just was impressed as I was studying about this character, Caleb. You see, Caleb, the life of Caleb, he was born in Egypt. More than likely to slave parents. He probably served some time as a slave. Most likely he was a slave for maybe approximately 30 years, because it's estimated that at 30 years old, he was 30 years old at the time of the exodus of leaving Egypt. At 40 years old, he was sent by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan from Kadesh Barnea. And later on, at 85 years old, he received his inheritance in Hebron after the conquest of Canaan, 45 years after the Exodus. That's just a quick breakdown of his life, and we're going to look at a number of different verses throughout the Bible. And just look at this solid man of God. And as far as I know, there is nothing recorded in any negative light in regards to Caleb. It seemed like he chose wisely at every turn of the road. The first part of his life I'm going to call a different spirit. I'm going to look at it in two sections. So this was a different spirit. So this is when he was chosen as a spy, but yet he was in the minority. So going to Numbers 13, and I'm not sure how to, the story is very interesting. So I'm going to take the time to read a good bit of Bible verses here this morning on this story of spying out the land of Canaan, and picture him as we go through. You'll see that he very quickly becomes a man in the minority, or a very outnumbered by his peers, and even by all of the children of Israel, or a good many of the children of Israel. Starting at chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers. So shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them forth from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. We can just jump down there. If you see in verse 6, it was of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And did you see that they were rulers among everyone, a ruler among them? So Caleb was a ruler in the tribe or of his family of Judah. Going on down to verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what cities there be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And he ascended by the south and came unto Haran, where Ahiman and Sheshu and Talmah, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with clusters of grapes, that they bare it between two upon his staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Just a side note, I just wonder how these spies were spying out a land when they were carrying this large clump of grapes between them. It seems like you'd want to hide as you go, but they were seemingly, they gathered these fruits together, and the grapes were so large that they had to be carried by two. The place was called the brook Eshcol because the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went up, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, I did not bring a map along, but it's not like they just went and spied in the southernmost part of Canaan, but if you see the cities and a map of that day, they went right up through the middle, far up into the country, and as you see there, they were there 40 days, they were spying in the land until they came back to Moses and the children of Israel, which were on the other side of Jordan. Again, putting this in perspective with our Sunday school lesson, this was a good 40 years before the crossing of the Jordan that we had in this lesson and last Sunday's lesson. And they told him and said, "We come unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were we in their sight." And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord dwell in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation, mightier than they." And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nation which have heard the fame of thee which speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which we swear unto them. Therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of the mercy, as thou hast forgiven the people from Egypt, forgiven this people from Egypt even till now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto thy fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and bear your whoredoms unto your carcasses, be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and there shall they die. Then, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up unto the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we will be here, and we will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. And the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. And they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell on the hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Horem. We'll stop reading there. If I did not mention, the title of my message this morning is, He Had Another Spirit With Him. So here we have some of the first words in the Old Testament of this man named Caleb, a fairly familiar Old Testament character. Moses, as I had pointed out, had appointed 12 men, one from each tribe. They were also rulers in their tribes to go and spy out Canaan. And this was more than likely a very daring thing to do from a human perspective, to go into a hostile country that you knew nothing about, to go in and spy it out. You can imagine that the people living there would have not taken well to that. And so I would say right in the outstart, Caleb was a very brave man. He was willing to do it. He did not cringe from a task or responsibility that was laid on his shoulders. And we know that as they went in there for 40 days, that the Lord blessed their plans and prospered them in many ways. He gave them safety. He allowed them to bring things out of the country, the fruit of the country. They brought back to show it to Moses. And although righteous and well-intended at the outset, we know that many 10 of the spies ultimately sinned and chose to deliver a negative report. And I'm not sure exactly where along the way that these men started to grow faint-hearted, to turn from maybe trusting God and him allowing them to have safety, to bringing back this negative report. And only two, Caleb and Joshua, remained loyal to this mission. Caleb stood up even though he was in a minority, even though he was only one of two and there was 10 that were saying something else. And not only 10, the word spread, as we know when they got back to the children of Israel there, this word spread and the whole congregation of Israel was against him. But Caleb, it seems like, had the first words when he came back there. He says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." He still had zeal and energy, and he believed that the Lord was on his side and would give them the strength and wisdom, courage that they needed to overtake it. Other words that he spoke later on, he said, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." The people grew terrified, but Caleb stood up and tried to silence them and tried to reason with them and tried to reckon with them. Again, I would say he was doing a very good job as a leader, somebody who had energy, somebody who had a confidence in who he was and in who God was. Caleb had the Lord's blessing in his life, and because of his unwavering faith, we see there in verse 14, 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." We know too that all of those that were older than 20 years old died off in the wilderness, save Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses was not able to enter the promised land because of some sin in his life. So there was only these two, and one, Joshua, was chosen to take over Moses' responsibility. But here there seems to be a special blessing upon Caleb for what he had done as well. So as you remember, once they crossed the Jordan in the time of our Sunday school lesson, these were the only two men in that age group. They were more than likely at least 20 years older than any of the other children of Israel. So they were faithful because of their faithfulness. We see too that the negative mindset of the people around them, the children of Israel that were around them. So first of all, they all became disheartened. They accused Moses and Aaron. They picked up stones and were endeavoring to stone Caleb and Joshua because of their good report. So they had that, and then we see that that the Lord speaks to them and says that they're not going to be able to enter the land because of their choices. Then the next day they rise up in the morning and they said, "Well, we're going to go do it anyway." And first of all, let me back up a little bit. The other 10 spies were killed off by this plague, and then the remaining ones said, "We're going to go up and." The other children of Israel said, "We're going to go up and take this land." And then they were killed off by the Amalekites and the Canaanites. It seems like, I'm not sure what number of people that was. But anyway, people who were not listening to God, were not following God, did not have the Spirit of the Lord in them. There's a story about a man, Levi Coffin, who is an unknown, or somewhat of a, somebody who is a unsung hero of the American anti-slave movement. In 1920, Coffin moved to Newport, Indiana, and opened a shop. And his home soon became a central point on the famous Underground Railroad, a path from slavery to in the U.S. South to the freedom in Canada. People like Coffin would take enormous personal risks to help fleeing slaves on their journey. Coffin provided refuge for up to 17 refuge slaves at a time in his home. And so active was he that the three major routes on the Underground Railroad converged at his place, which became known as Grand Central Terminal. Because of his activities, Coffin received frequent death threats and warnings that his shop and home would be burned. Yet he was undeterred. Like many of the whites, including involved in the Underground Railroad, he was driven by his Christian conviction. Coffin was a Quaker and explained his commitment saying, "The Bible is bidding us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and says nothing about color." Levi is just one example of a person who decided to do what he could about an injustice he saw, and his action resulted in hundreds of oppressed slaves finally finding their freedom. So the question I have for the first part of Caleb's life, this different spirit, what was this different spirit that was in Joshua and Caleb? Is that different spirit in you this morning? Is it something that you can put your finger on? And I think to sum it up in a few words, that different spirit is an unwavering faith and a wholehearted commitment to God. Doing what is right, no matter the circumstance, no matter how hard it is, no matter who is against us, it may be our friends. I'm sure when these 12 spies started out to spy out Canaan, they were very much comrades. They all had the same vision and goals in mind, and so they were probably friends. There's something about entering conflict together that brings people closer. But at somewhere along the way, their paths started to part, and eventually they died in the plague, where Joshua and Caleb were spared and given leadership roles and given inheritances in the land. What was that? It was because of their unwavering faith in God, not in other people, but in God. Maybe there's people around us that we are close to at one point in time, and then because of what we think or we know that God is calling us to, differs from what they are willing to do, and we become separated. An unwavering faith and wholehearted commitment to God. No matter the task at hand, no matter if it was to spy out the land, no matter if it was to stand true, no matter if it was to encourage the children of Israel, try to persuade them, they were committed to what the Lord had for them and had put a lot of trust, put their full trust and confidence in him. Even though they saw the same thing that the other spies saw, and they could have been as scared and as everyone else was, but they trusted in God. The obstacles that were ahead were no different. They did not look any, they were no, not physically different. They all saw the same thing, but yet they had faith in God. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. The second part of Caleb's life, I've entitled Finishing Strong. And I want to take the time to read a good many more verses here. We'll see what we have time for. And it's again a portion of Caleb's life where he comes to the scene, he rises on the scenes again, starting at the beginning of chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their substance, for their cattle and for their substance. So suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the children. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto them, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and in thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, and Moses sware on the day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trod shall be thine inheritance, and the children's and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this 85 years old. And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in the day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, before the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Going to chapter 15, verse 13. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, jump over those names, and went up thence to the inhabitants of Debar, the name of Debar before Kirjath Shira. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Shira and taketh it, to him will I give Asha, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it and gave him Asha, his daughter, to wife. We'll stop reading there. We see where Caleb comes back to Joshua at age of 85. This is 40 years later. Yeah, Caleb is 85 years old, and he was still confident in his physical and mental vigor. He said he was as strong as he was 40 years prior when he was sent by Moses to spy out the land. There's definitely probably a portion of that was he was as mentally as strong. I believe he probably was also fairly physically strong, maybe physically as strong yet as he was then. He was an active man. He was a warrior for many, many years of his life. And he was wanting to, I skipped over the part there where it talks about the borders of Judah. And so there was people, of course, there was still, let me back up a little bit. The children of Israel had not completely drove out all of the Canaanites and all of the people that were living there in Canaan when they moved in. And so there was, around the borders of Judah, there were still some ungodly nations that were living there, and a portion of that was occupied, a portion of what was to be Judah's inheritance was still occupied by some other people. And so he was wanting to push out the borders and to claim more land, and he was coming back to Joshua and wanting to part of that was promised to him as his inheritance, back to the verses there in Numbers. And so he still had zeal, he still had energy to move ahead. He was finishing strong. He still had confidence in God. Another story was there's the Olympic Games in Mexico of 1968, and there was a marathon was the final program of those Olympics, and the Olympic Stadium was packed, and there was excitement as the first marathon runner, an Ethiopian, entered the stadium. The crowd erupted as he crossed the line. But way back in the field, there was another runner whose name was John Stephen of Tanzania, and he had been eclipsed, or many of the other runners had ran by him, and after 30 kilometers, his head throbbed and his muscles were aching, and he had fallen to the ground, and he had sustained some serious injury to his leg, and officials wanted him to retire. They wanted him to give up, and because the race was over. But he refused. With his knee bandaged, he picked himself up and hobbles the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. An hour after the winners had finished, John Stephen entered the stadium. Only a few thousand of the crowd were, all but a few thousand of the crowd had gone home. John Stephen moves around the track at a painfully slow pace until finally he collapsed across the finish line. And it's a very, supposedly a very, one of the most heroic efforts of the Olympic in history. And afterwards, this John Stephen was asked by a reporter why he hadn't dropped out. Why didn't he quit when he knew the race, he was never going to be the winner and that the race was over? And he said this: "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish." And I was just challenged by that story and in my own life. The Lord has sent us here on this earth not to start the race when we're young, not to do well in our middle age, but to finish well. Caleb was a very strong man in his youth, but he also finished well. It's not that way. There's many Bible characters who were not able to do that. Some started out strong, but did not end up well, who did not finish well. Paul also tells of his fear of not finishing well in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He's saying that he endeavors not to preach to others, to do well, and then in the end, he himself falls out by the wayside. We know the other Old Testament characters who started out strong but did not finish well. We could think of Solomon, we could think of Saul, we could think of Lot, and the list goes on. And so the challenge for us today is, are we finishing well? Maybe you are in your middle years or older years. Are you staying strong? Are you as strong today as you were 45 years ago or 20 years ago? As we get older, we may become weaker in body, but it is important. The important thing is to stay strong spiritually, strong enough to say to God, "Give me this mountain." What enabled this 85-year-old man, Caleb, to possess that which God had promised? Again, it was his unwavering faith in God. Caleb's willingness to follow the Lord. He did what the Lord had asked him. If all through the story of Caleb here, it's mentioned six times in the Old Testament that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Six different times that was mentioned. So he followed the Lord. Caleb believed in the Lord. In Deuteronomy 1, 34 and 36, it says this, very similar words to another verses that I read. "And the Lord heard the voice, of your words and was wroth and swears, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your father, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give this land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." He believed that the Lord would give him this land. He believed that the Lord would expand the land that the tribe of Judah needed. He never wavered, never because of fear. He had a faith in God, and the Lord strengthened him. He looked past the giants. And he did not have that outlook of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Are we able to claim those words today as well? That we would not have a spirit of fear, but but claim the power of Christ that is in us. I don't know where each of you are here this morning in your own personal walk. Maybe you have entered Canaan, or maybe you're wandering around in the wilderness. Maybe you're still struggling, but God has a place of peace and power for you. But we need to be willing to claim our possession. You see, there was a difference. There's a difference between a promise and a possession. The Lord had promised them the land of Canaan, but the children of Israel had to go in and possess it. Today, the Lord has promised us of his children to be victorious, but we have to possess it. We have to claim that promise. However, that promise must be actively pursued and possessed before it will ever become a reality. We need to be the ones that are active and not losing heart. We know that there was many of the spies came back, and it seems like they were very faint-hearted, but it seems like Caleb and Joshua were faith-hearted. They had a faith and a trust in a provider. Trust that each of us this morning can continue to do the same, no matter your stage in life, where you are, that you would have a faith and a confidence and a zeal and an energy to continue pressing on, because the battles are not all ours, or it's not just, we cannot just on our own, but we can tap into a much greater source. We saw too this morning in the Sunday school lesson about Jericho. It was something that was above and beyond a naturally what would happen, but there was a God who was serving them and a God that they needed to put their trust in. The same way for us today. May we continue to put our faith and trust in a God who will help us to possess and help us to gain victories as his children. Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.